Everyone wants peace, but they want it on their own terms and without God. Hello, everyone. This is Daniel, again on Steeping in the Word. We've made it all the way to Romans 5, and so today we are going to look at the first two verses in that chapter. Two of St. Augustine's most famous works are The City of God and The Confessions. The City of God deals with how we are to relate with the city of man, the city on earth here that is controlled by Satan, the city that pursues man's reason and man's intellect and the glory of man. And the city of God is his guidance for Christians to remember that we are not of this world, but we belong to Christ. And the city of God is where those who have found their peace with God dwell. In the beginning of his Confessions, he says that our hearts are restless until we rest in God. He says it in a prayer form. The whole book is a prayer to God that he might call to mind for himself what God has done and is doing. But he starts off the book by saying we desire to praise God and we can't because of our sin. And we long to praise something, and we end up praising ourselves because we have fled from God, and that we are part of the city of man. But the city of God is not composed of voluntary citizens. As we've seen thus far, those who pursue themselves, pursue their life according to their own standards, hate God. And Romans says that is basically everyone until God interrupts their life. We could not make peace with God because of our sins. They separated us from God. Romans chapter 5, however, is about how Christ has brought us near to God. He is the one of reconciliation. So let's go ahead and read Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There are two opposing ideas. If we are of the city of God, we have peace with God. But if we are the city of man or city of the world, we have enmity with God, as it says elsewhere. Being justified by faith means that we have peace with God. Now, oftentimes, we would say that we don't want peace with the world because peace with the world is enmity with God, and that is very true. But one temptation we often fall into is we want peace in the world. We want our way so that we feel comfortable. We don't want to agree with everything the world says. We would just rather do away with the parts of the world that we don't like and build our kingdom here. This is a deep pit that we can fall into very easily. If we want peace in the world and peace with God, it's anger with God. Do we really have peace if we're complaining about the way things are? If we have peace with God, it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace with God is peace with God alone. There might be peace that comes secondary, but what Christ has bought us is not just a happy life. He has brought us peace with the one who can give us life. And he doesn't just say, through Jesus. He says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. At the heart of all the persecution in Christianity was the idea that Christians were atheists. They denied all the gods of the Roman pantheon. All they had to do was say, Caesar is Lord. Just utter it and maybe burn some incense. And they could go on their way, worshiping how they wanted. The persecution of Christians centered around their denial of the way of life of Rome. The sticking point for true Christians is the word Lord. Is Christ above all else? Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have peace with God. We have not made peace with the world. In fact, we have become enemies with the world. This is James 4:4. You adulterous people. That's a common way of describing the people of God in the Old Testament. Hosea marries a prostitute to be a parable for the nation that they have turned after other gods. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says, He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell within us? It is His Spirit that He has placed within us, and that Spirit cannot dwell where there is sin. God does not make peace with those who hate His law. And we were once strangers, but through Him, this is verse 2, we have obtained access by faith into the wonderful grace of God. We see in verse 1 that peace is what we gain when we follow Christ and Christ alone, because God is jealously yearning over us. We are no longer enemies with Him, but to be friends with any other one who is against God is to be an enemy of God. So when we follow Christ, it is exclusively Christ we follow. So the first blessing that we find in Christ is peace with God. And in verse 2, the second blessing is access into this grace. Our simple modern minds see that peace with God and access to His grace are the same thing, but indeed they are not. Cast yourself back to the times of being a peasant who had a certain obligation to serve his master. You could be at peace with the king of the land or with the lord or with your master and faithfully serve him and never see him. To be at peace with him would mean that he would not be disappointed with you and discipline you. But it doesn't mean that you have access to his grace, to his favor. But if he granted you to come sit at his table and dine with him at a feast of the whole land, and he honored you, well, that would be what the access to grace means here. We were against God and enemies with God, and he, through Jesus, made us reconciled to himself. We were no longer fugitives of justice, but we were once again allowed to dwell in the land of peace, in safety and comfort. We were under his wing. But now we see that Christ ushers us in to the glory. He says, the hope of the glory of God. We are expectantly awaiting the marriage supper of the Lamb and in the end of Revelation. We are no longer just at peace with God. It's not just a state of equilibrium, but he has honored us in allowing us to partake in his glory. Because he has given us access, by faith we are able to step into the waterfall of his grace. We are able to place ourselves at the foot of his throne and have an audience with the king. We are granted a place of honor. Being at peace with God does not mean that we are mere acquaintances. It means that he has put his protection over us and made us his. But to have obtained access to his favor is yet another blessing upon a blessing. If we are prideful enough to expect something from God, we miss out on texts like this. We need to understand that God does not owe us anything, and that anything we have from him is truly a grace. Once we understand this, the result is that we are standing in the grace of God and rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. We are no longer tossed to and fro, as James said, but we are trusting in him, and we are filled to the brim with satisfaction for what he has done for us. Take time this week to think on what you expect of God and what it might actually mean to have peace with God. As you look around at the world that's seemingly crumbling around us, our expectations of what we want out of God, think on these things. Evaluate your desires, and then look at texts like this and be thankful and rejoice for what God has done for us by sending his Son to reconcile us to him. He was forsaken on the cross and smitten and struck by sin, and the full wrath of God was on him so that we might be healed. And let that change your perspective. Let that bleed over into rejoicing and praise of the one who made you and redeemed you and will one day glorify you and make you new so that we can praise his name forever. Father, give us new hearts that don't hate you. Make us to pursue you and you alone, in your word and in our lives. Let us not be about us, but about you and your work, so that you may be glorified in all the earth. Amen.